Hi, this is Kurt Whistler, and welcome to the conference call regarding the Latino Book and the Movie Awards and the promo sheet related to it. And thank you so much for attending. If each of you could just introduce yourself real briefly.
Hello, I'm Arnaldo Lopez, Jr.
Hello, Rocky I'm Berea. Maria,
this is Irma Reyes.
This is Eduarda Amondragon.
Carmen Ferreiro.
Hello, it's Eduardo Santiago.
Okay.
Hi, it's Martha Acosta.
Hi, David Apples.
Hello, this is Justine Loyo on behalf of Dr. Anna Nogales.
Okay. I know there's still some more that...
Here.
Belinda Vasquez Garcia.
Okay, everybody's introduced themselves. And so thank you very, very much. I know we have authors from all over the country, so this is certainly a way that we're going to start using and be doing things, I would think, at least every other month, if not monthly, along these lines. So thank you again for all your attending. And we are recording this, so then we can share this with the people unable to attend. And I must apologize before we get going. I always wanted to have a radio voice, and that was one of the things I was not blessed with. I actually had not even thought about it until I was in my 20s and first time I was on the radio for a long interview. And then when I heard it afterwards and I heard my voice, I go, that's not me. My mind, I guess I was hearing some other voice. But so you have to put up with me. I apologize.
Oh, you sound all right.
Okay.
I have terrible voice, too, on the phone.
So this is Ruben Acosta.
Okay. Thank you, Ruben. All right. And also, before we get going on all these details, just wanted to remind everybody about ISLA, the International Society of Latino Authors. And I know a number of you have wound up joining it. And under it, one of the key programs that we're going to be launching very shortly is going to be the Empowering Speakers Speakers Bureau. And I think it's going to be really something that's going to help elevate the whole industry. And one of the things from talking to a large number of very, very successful authors, it amazes me how many make almost as much or even more off of their speeches than they do off their books. And these are well-known authors. So something just to keep in mind. All right. One of the key things, as I sat there and looked at the flyers, promo pieces as they came in, if I was grading them as a teacher, I would say most of these I'd give somewhere between a C and an F. Because you've got to put yourself into the eyes of the person that's seeing it from the other side. They're going to spend, or let me walk you through, we will take over the next few months these books to the key studios and networks, and they're going to be given to the people at the president and senior VP level. So they're going in at the right level. They will then distribute these books to different departments. Like if it's a TV network, they have their comedy division, they have their their drama division, they have their reality division, all these different kinds of things. And so then the books go out to those divisions. We don't have our hands on it or even know in most cases who it's going to at those stages. Once they go into those departments, then somebody will sit there and they're going to look at these promo pieces and they're going to decide, do we want somebody to read this or not, or at what level? Because they will have, could everybody silence their phone? Somebody has a squeaky phone. Whoever is making all that noise, could you please mute your phone? Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Okay. So with that, it's a situation where if they feel this has tremendous potential immediately, filling a need that they've been talking about or whatever, they will assign it to a very high-level reader. In other cases, they'll assign it to a low-level reader. And in some cases, if that promo piece doesn't grab them, then it may never get read at all. And that's why the promo piece, if the promo piece doesn't work, it doesn't matter how wonderful your book is. It's not going to go any further. And that's why we really need to make sure these are well-written, concise. Just some of the problems that I've seen on these various pieces, I've seen the design, fonts, various things that just were not working in them. Is there any questions on who this is going out to in that whole part of the process that I just described?
No. Well, I don't have a question about that, but I was wondering, Kirk, because the samples that you sent us to follow,
yes.
I didn't think they were all that great.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I thought they were overcrowded, confusing, and kind of a, if I was working in that industry, I would take a look at it and not really give it much thought. I don't understand what the criteria really is.
Well, that's why we're going to
If it's based on those examples.
I did like the one from Manuel Ramos the best.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that one.
I do. I mean, I guess it was okay. It didn't make me want to read the book.
I thought they were very
nicely laid out and everything, but I thought the synopsis was extremely short and didn't really get into any action in a book. The synopsis, I don't think, was well done.
What?
It actually looked like it could be a movie.
This
they were like
Martha.
Very short, like a paragraph.
I just wanted
mm-hmm.
to say that what I wanted to see is what the professionals really present, not what has presented before by this group, because they did look, I hate to say this, amateurish, because we're not
yep.
designers, we're writers, and that's not our skill set. So I wanted to see what is actually presented by professionals who present
okay.
these things.
Professionals, see, within the studios, if you go into your book, they're not going to take it. So it just, there isn't a process for that. You need an agent to go in. So it
yes,
isn't.
But agents must present something.
Agents are going to present, in most cases, a one-page synopsis of the book along with the cast type thing. So those are the two key pieces within what we're asking for here, are the synopsis and the cast.
Well, I've never heard of anybody in the industry having to present a designed promo sheet to, you know, when introducing either a book or a screenplay. I mean, I'm willing to do it because apparently this is what you require. But
well,
like somebody else said, if they're going to look amateurish because we're not designers, we're basically writers, and at best, it's kind of a hurdle.
We've gotten great feedback from the studios and networks. Very good feedback. And in fact, when I see those key executives and I don't have boxes for them, they say, you know, looking forward to that next box. It's not where I'm even bringing it up. It's where they are saying they're looking for it. One of the key things that's happened within the industry on Latino-themed projects is because I serve on the National Latino Media Council, where we meet with the execs, senior level execs within the different networks and that.
Mm-hmm.
And with those meetings, and these meetings have been going on now 16 years,
mm-hmm.
with the first up until the last little over a year, every time we would bring up Latino-themed projects, they were not interested at all. And that it was all about getting Latinos into positions in front and behind the camera, individual casting type things and staffing type things. In the last year and a half, that has changed dramatically. And a good tell along those lines is, I don't know how many here read Entertainment Weekly, which has been horrendous on their lack of meaningful coverage of Latinos in the entertainment industry. And yet they did a lead article here in the last couple weeks on Latinos on TV and how there is a real rebirth right now. The other thing that I really wanted to share with everybody is what I shared during the awards. And that's where right now your odds of getting produced are dramatically better on TV than they are on with a movie. Because when you look at movies going into theatrical release this year, there'll be roughly 350. Whereas it's well over 500. I forget the exact number right now. The series that are scripted that are in production. So your odds are better on the TV side than on the movie side. Any other questions?
Yeah, I was wondering about the actual information you need. So for our contact information, you just don't want you want our physical address.
I'm going to go through line by line on that.
Oh, okay.
Now.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the key thing there is with this piece, you want it to grab their attention in 30 to 90 seconds. And no matter what's ever presented to these people, no matter what form you're presenting something, if you're looking at presenting them, the only thing you're bringing in is your book, it will not even probably get opened once you leave and that. Without something, a synopsis and that kind of a thing. Fonts, for headlines and shorter text, use sans serif, not serif fonts. They tend to be more readable if you look like on good websites and good brochures and that, they all tend to follow that same guideline. And use no more than 3 fonts in total. Design, keep it clean and easy to read. Often 2 columns works, 1 wider, 1 narrower. And use both pages and that. Then at the top, the logo roughly 1 inch across for the awards. The winning category, and then what place you were in. Don't rewrite. Be sure and use the exact title of the category. I know some people recategorized it. These are categories within the industry and that. Yes.
On the category of documentary, I've put a slash docudrama also to try and see if I can fudge some more of the creative juices than a staid, so to speak, documentary.
So yeah, that's not a problem in that particular
okay.
case. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Kirk, I didn't quite get, you said the sans serif fonts for the headlines and for what else? You mentioned two things.
Oh, it's right there on the write-up. In any place that is a shorter amount of text and that type of a thing.
Oh, okay. What write-up is that? Did you send a write-up?
Well, most of the text that you're providing is short pieces of information. The only two long write-ups you have are where you're writing about the book overall and then the casting. Everything
right.
else is shorter. And
it's
so
just the headline,
with
right.
all those shorter ones, well, there are also other types of things beyond headlines. But
okay,
yeah.
so other than the text, the sans serifs, the fonts, okay.
Yes, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Then the photo and the book cover, those are fairly straightforward. A few of the book photos that were sent were not clear photos. And, you know, of all the things to provide that you've got to somewhere have a copy of is a nice clear shot of yourself and that. Then the book synopsis, 200 to 250 words, could be a little longer if you've got the space in that. But don't just pick up what you sent in with the back of your book or that you're using in your online marketing or whatever. That isn't what we're looking for here. We're looking for hooks that will help make it appeal to that audience there. Describe why you feel that this or that audience would be potentially interested in it and that. And then I rewrote the stuff right at the bottom of the page so it really gets into the who judged it and all those kind of things. So that you just pick up that text and replace the text that we had before about Latino literacy now with that. Then quotes, appropriate quotes from press and others, 2 to 4, would be great. And those are obviously about the book, but if somebody, like I know I've seen on more than one book, somebody saying, this book reads like a movie script or something like that. That type of a quote is wonderful. And then the character descriptions, that's really key. I know somebody had sent in one and they said, oh, well, J-Lo would be perfect for this and Ava Longoria would be perfect for that role and this kind of a thing. It isn't where you're filling in those names on that side. What you're doing is providing the characteristics. Latina, mid-30s, wears glasses if that's a key element, you know, whatever along those lines so that they can start picturing. And then in their minds, they will sit there and they will think, so-and-so would be perfect for this. And then on the contact information, who they would follow up with. If you own the rights and you don't have an agent, then I would assume it's going to be you. If it's somebody else enlist them. It's not where you have to spell out who owns the rights so much as you have to be aware of it. And I've talked to more than one author that goes, I don't know if I control the rights, and that's something that you need to check into. And that your publishing contract will state that, if it doesn't state that, then you still own 100% of the rights. But just a word of advice, nobody should sign away more than a small percentage to their publishing company.
Kirk, may
yes.
I interrupt?
Of course.
Okay, this is Rocky. One of the things that I have noticed in some of the contracts, it talks about different rights, the text rights, the movie rights, the sound rights. So it's really important to, when you review your contract, if you have one, is to really determine what rights you have, if you've given away the audio rights or the video rights or whatever. That's just my point.
Excellent. Yeah. And there is one publishing company out there that if they will ask for as much as 100%. Of the rights, and they just throw it in the contracts, and they assume the person's not reading it because they're all excited, oh, I got a publishing contract. And, it's where you do need to sit there and be aware of that.
Hey, Kirk, this is Gustavo. I have a quick question about the synopsis. A true synopsis has the ending, includes the endings. Do we want to include that, or do we just want to write a tease, like a 250-word tease, or do you want to put the actual ending there with the resolution and everything?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about giving away the ending. It's not like on a book where you want them to read it to then find out what happens, because ultimately they're going to want to know what it's all about. In most cases, prior to reading the book.
Okay, thank you.
So, Kirk, you were saying that we need that in the synopsis we should put maybe the audience who would be interested in it. Did you say that we should include that in the synopsis?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And this, especially with. A lot of them where, okay, this would appeal to women, this would appeal to teenagers, this would appeal to whatever. It further amplifies in many cases those categories up at the top. And fortunately, Latinos over-index in about more than half of all the movie-going categories. And that. So it's a situation where and the film industry is finally, they've seen this data for probably 6 years, but they are finally starting to pay attention to it.
And so the contact information, should we include the physical address all the information we have for a contact, like the phone number, the email, and the physical address?
You can include the physical address. It is not near as necessary as the email and phone.
Okay.
Because
okay.
In both
and,
cases, yeah, they will reach out by email or phone. But phone would be number one.
Yeah, one of your samples, she had included the entire physical address, so that's why I was wondering. And then what if we have a website? Should we include our website or no? Is that important?
Does your website lead to a better understanding of how your book could work for them?
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, if all your website is doing is selling books and that kind of a thing, then it really everything on there, view it as how does it help them make a step towards that, that key point.
Okay.
One of the other things that I did want to talk about, because I know we have one author that has three books in a series that have all won now and that type of a thing. Those, it's not merely increasing your odds of something good happening by a little, but really by a lot, because the way both the TV industry and movie industry works, if they see something as a series, if you start looking around at TV series that are doing well and movies series that are doing well, they tend to be off of a series of books. And I had a conversation earlier with one of the authors who has this as their first book in a series, and the fact that it's a series, odds are very good that nothing's going to happen until at least the other books are written. They don't have to necessarily be published, but they're going to want to see more of that series. Any other questions?
Kurt, this is Marta. You know, what can you see perhaps making a template and we each fill in the information? That way it would have some sort of uniformity and it would look...
For future years we'll do something like that. I don't have the time this year.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish in reality I had done that before rather than spending the time looking at the unfinished ones coming in.
Yeah. This is Carmen Ferreira. I have a question. The synopsis should be in the front page or could be in the second? Is it any importance?
With what on the first page or second page?
The synopsis.
Oh, I would have that on the front page. And I would have the profiles of the characters on the second page. You could move around the other things wherever they best fit in terms of the quotes and different things like that.
Okay, so first page. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Can we have a separate section saying who we think the audience would be, I guess?
Sure.
Because I put my books on the side, and then I had some room left on the bottom, and I put the three books again on the bottom. But I thought I could, now that you talked about who the audience, I could just put a little section there about, you know, who I think the audience is for it.
Excellent suggestion. And this is, we are working towards that perfect formula on this. Do we have all the answers? No. Are these going to get further along than any other simple way that you could do? Yes. And is it something that the industry is becoming more and more aware of? Yes. And so I know we're taking the right steps. And like one of the execs with one of the TV networks was one of our judges this year. And I know she's waiting for the books to get out to different people within her network. The other thing that I do have to cover, in most cases, nothing moves slower than the entertainment industry and that. And so don't expect to get a call next week, next month, or anything along those lines. It just doesn't happen that fast. And even once they find something that they like, they have to go through a process of checking to make sure that they don't have something similar already in one of their cycles. And then the final thing on that sort of topic is it's not uncommon for a TV network to option, TV network or movie studio to option a dozen ideas for every one that ultimately goes that next step of getting scripted and that. So they're sitting there first looking around at ideas out there, and then they see what can really work for them.
So what does that mean? This is Cecilia Kirk. What does it mean, option ideas?
Oh, okay.
Option ideas.
Well, option a book. Yeah, that is literally the first step that they go through.
Mm-hmm.
They would option this, and it would be for a set period. It would be for a different period for a TV show than for a movie and that kind of stuff. It can be as long as 3 to 5 years. It can be as little as a year and that. But that means that nobody else can – the book is no longer in play while they have that option on it.
Thank you.
And the
hey, Kirk, it's Eduardo.
Not, okay. Let me just
Sure, go ahead. I didn't realize you weren't done.
Yeah, the option is not the final price, but just sort of a holding price. And so it's not a price to produce it and all that kind of stuff. That would be – it's several phases that you would get paid different things. Okay, go ahead.
So it's Eduardo, and I just wanted to say, and I think I speak for all of us, how grateful we are that you have put yourself in this position to help us get our work seen by people that we generally don't have access to. I know it's a lot of hard work for you, and we're not making it any easier. So, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. And it is something that I've spent most of my career right on the fringe of the entertainment industry because I've worked basically in media. But within the entertainment industry, I've certainly seen all the different steps, been in tons of meetings and that. And the interest level has never been higher in anything Latino. And also the weakest link over the last 40 years has been on the writing side because we've seen numerous things that have been very well cast. Like one of the very first was AKA Pablo back in the 1980s. I don't know if you remember Paul Rodriguez and that.
Sure.
And great cast. Not a single Latino on the writing side. Not a single Latino. And that has been something haunting people ever since. And even one of the shows that went on last year, there was 10 people in the writing room, and they initially had no Latinos at all, and this was a Latino-themed project. And that's totally unacceptable. And that. So that's the kind of thing that we've got to work to change, and that's why I appreciate so much all of you sharing your ideas and that, because it is an exciting time. Any other questions?
I just want to check that December 8th, we should have our promo piece and the books to you together. You would, right?
Right. Well, I know we've received at least half of the books. I'm not the one logging in the books as they come and all that kind of stuff. but I know we've got a large number of the books that have already arrived, and that.
With the promo sheets?
Well, no, without the promo sheets, because, you know, you can send them separate, and that. We'll make sure they get matched. Don't worry on that side.
Okay.
It's easy enough to match them.
Yeah.
So you actually need the physical promo sheets, not just email.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do want to, of course, get it digitally in the final form also. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Kirk, I know you're extremely busy, so you don't have enough time to, like, you know, make sure each of our promo sheets are perfect. But what do we do now? So we go ahead and submit them to you, and you send us an email saying that it looks okay, and then we make you the physical copies and mail them to you. Or do we assume? Okay, so you will respond to us and tell us whether or not they're okay at least.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
I just want to do a quick eye. Okay.
Exactly. I didn't want to respond, you know, until we did this session, and now that we're more in the mode of doing these kind of things, we will do more of these. And I do appreciate your suggestions. The audience section makes a lot of sense. And actually, one of the questions we ask the judges is there an adequate audience? Of course, we're not asking them to target it. But when they're sitting there judging the book, is there a big enough audience? So in a sense, we should have that here also. Because that's certainly one of the key things that any of these entities that we're presenting it to, the clearer we make it to them, what is the audience, the better. And so I will update that and have that out to all of you here shortly. And it doesn't have to be that long, just like a paragraph on it, but that would really help them. Because the quicker we can make it for them to sit there and see, and we will definitely, for in the future, do the template where it's written specifically for that. And I do apologize that we don't have it. Everything that I do on this is entirely volunteer. And so it's been a lot of work. And this year, as I may have mentioned, the number of winners that we have was probably more than double any previous year. The number of entries was also substantially higher. It was probably four times as many as ever before. It's a situation where things are evolving nicely.
So I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that. You're talking about the paragraph. You mentioned something about a paragraph that would help them. You're talking about the audience?
I will reset out that form. So when you get your package again, look for the section on audience.
Okay. Okay. And is there a font you recommend for the font you recommend for the text, you know, the body?
The font that I use most often that I love using overall is Myriad Pro. It's a nice condensed font, and it stands out, and it's sans serif, and just is very common in brochures and things along those lines. And it also, at least in what we have here, I've got like 12 different things, so I can use it condensed, I can use it non-condensed, I can use it semi-bold, all kinds of different things, and it has a distinct enough look between the different ones that it works well.
Oh, okay.
And
yes,
they all complement each other.
Okay.
Sorry, could you spell the name of the phone?
Marriott. M. Let me shift back over to that. Okay. MYRIAD.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I have to sign off, Kirk, but thank you so much.
Okay, any other questions?
A question regarding audience. By that, you don't mean the MPAA film, or just like RMC-17. That's not what you mean?
Well, there was other noises going on, so I didn't quite hear the entire question.
I'm wondering if when you said an audience, are you referring to the MPAA film ratings like PG-13, R, NC-17? Is that what you mean?
No. Like this will appeal to teenagers or 18 to 34 or women, those kind of things. Like if you were pitching a male-oriented product to Lifetime. Lifetime is not going to be interested in that at all because Lifetime targets women and that kind of a thing.
Okay.
And, yeah. Okay, any other questions? These have all been great questions.
No, I think we're good. I'm good.
Thank you. I think you covered everything. Thank you very much for spending your time helping us.
Oh, yeah. No, well, you guys have been perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.
And I will update this and have it up to you real shortly.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kurt.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.